శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 10-11 చాప్టర్ 17 టెక్స్ట్ 25 రేతో నవకిరేష్ జాతు బ్రహ్మవ్రత దారహ స్వయం వక్రినే వాగాన్యాప్సు యథాశుస్ త్రిపదం జాపేత్ రేతో నవకిరేజ్జాతు బ్రహ్మవృతదరా స్వయం ఆవికర్ణే వాగయప్సు యథాశుస్ త్రిపదం జపేత్ రేతో నివాకిరేజ్జాతు బ్రహ్మవృతదరా స్వయం అవకీర్ణే వగాప్యప్సు యథాశుస్ త్రిపదం జపేత్ రేతో నవకిరేజ్జాతు బ్రహ్మవృతదరా స్వయం అవాకీర్ణే వగయప్సు యథాసు స్త్రీపదం జపేత్ మతజీస్ రేతః సిమన్ న నాట్ అవకిరేత్ షుడ్ స్పిల్ అవుట్ జాతు ఎవర్ బ్రహ్మవృత దారః వన్ హూ ఇస్ మెయింటైనింగ్ ద వావ్ ఆఫ్ సెలిబసీ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మచార్య స్వయం బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ అవకిరణే హ్యావింగ్ ఫ్లోడ్ అవుట్ అవాఘాన్య బేదింగ్ అప్సు ఇన్ వాటర్ యథా అశు కంట్రోలింగ్ ద బ్రీదింగ్ బై ప్రాణాయామ్ త్రిపాదం ద గాయత్రి మంత్ర జపేత్ హీ షుడ్ చాంట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ వన్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ ద వావ్ ఆఫ్ సెలబ్రేట్ బ్రహ్మచారి లైఫ్ షుడ్ నెవర్ పాస్ సీమెన్ ఇఫ్ ద సీమెన్ బై ఛాన్స్ స్పిల్స్ అవుట్ బై ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ The brahmachari should immediately take bath in water, control his breath by pranayam, and chant the Gayatri mantra. Text 26. Purified and fixed in consciousness, the brahmachari should worship the fire god, sun, acharya, cows, brahmanas, guru, elderly respectable persons and demigods. He should perform such worship at sunrise and sunset, without speaking but by silently chanting or murmuring the appropriate mantras. Text 27. Please repeat after me. Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyate karshihit Namritya Buddhaya Shute Sarva Devo Mayo Guru. Translation: one should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is a representative of all demigods. Purport: this verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 1.46. His Divine Grace Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivajakacharya Ashtotarasata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27, which is the verse we are reading today, spoken by Lord Sri Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhav regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. The spiritual master is also known as Acharya or a transcendental professor of spiritual science. Manu Samhita 2.140 explains the duties of an Acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to the spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a Shudra. The sacred thread worn on the body of a Brahmana, Kshatriya or a Vaishya is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth noting if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with a sacred thread ceremony, and after this samskara or purificatory process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about Vedas. A person born a Shudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahmana if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Puran, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all Vedic literatures, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciple to act in the same way. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in dealings of an Acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee who is called Ashray Vigraha, or the manifestation or the form of the Lord of whom one can take shelter. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर त्विषे नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर त्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य भूनित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने मधुरोज्वल प्रेमादर्शी रूपानुग पक्षदर्शी गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमस्तुते। नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्ते दीनचारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्ध अपसिद्धांत द्वंद्वहारिणे। हरे कृष्णा। सो इट्स अ वेरी वेरी ब्यूटिफुल वंडरफुल ऑस्पिशियस डे टुडे। वी आर हैविंग द मोस्ट ब्लेस्ड occasion of the appearance day of our Paramparam Guru Shri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the wonderful day of his appearance, and it's also the blessed occasion of the disappearance of our most worshipable His Divine Grace Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. And it's also very beautiful words glorifying the wonderful understanding of the spiritual master. So before I begin, I would like to take blessings of His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu, who is sitting in our midst, a very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and a very, very respectable and a very, very advanced devotee in our society. Seeking your blessings. I have been a student for many, many years. So, this is a beautiful verse, 11th canto. Amazing how this whole beautiful description of between Krishna and Uddhava is progressing. So deep and so profound. So in this chapter, which is entitled Description of the Varnashram System, Krishna himself, like he spoke the Gita to Arjun, Krishna himself is speaking about some of the most profound, important principles that are required to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So we have been studying for the last so many months about this conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. And today we are reading this most beautiful verse, the most profound verse, the verse which is the very secret of progress of Krishna consciousness, the verse which is, I would say, the very foundation of our spiritual life. There will not be a single Vyas Puja celebration celebrated without this verse being quoted by some devotee or the other. This is a verse which Krishna himself speaks. I repeat, one should know the Acharya as myself. I repeat, let's repeat together. This is very interesting. One should know the Acharya as myself. This is Krishna himself speaking. Yeah, remember. And never disrespect him in any way. one should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. So before we even begin, let us really sink this verse, what this verse is talking about. So while Krishna is describing a particular aspect of the brahmachari life, a particular ashram of brahmachari ashram describing, and suddenly in this, when describing about the brahmachari being very, very strict and celibate and how he should control his senses and how he should be worshipping different Surya and other things, Krishna just brings up this beautiful, profound verse. It is like, there are many, many nice verses, and here comes the jewel of all verses. If we understand this verse, we don't need to understand anything else. And vice versa. If we don't understand this verse, you can have all the knowledge of the scriptures, you can be a pandit, you can be reciting Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, front and back, back and front. If you don't understand this verse, it's of no use. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met that illiterate Brahmana in South India, at Srirangam, and this Brahmana was illiterate, he didn't know how to read, he didn't even know, I mean, we have seen people who are illiterate, you know, we know that they don't know how to read and they don't know how to write. But this Brahmana must be so illiterate that he didn't even know whether which side of the book is the right side of the book and the wrong side. He was holding the book upside down to read. I mean, that's really crazy, and we would call in our own language, he was a moron. I mean, crazy. This, how can one not even know which is the right side to read? But when he was seeing the Bhagavad Gita, tears were flowing in his eyes. People were making fun of him, people were joking, people were throwing things on him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the knower of everything. When he saw, he said, you are a special devotee, because why are there tears in your eyes? You don't even know how to read? I said, well, because my guru told me to just read Bhagavad Gita. That was my guru's instruction. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitteta Koriyo Akya Arana Koriyo Mane Asha. Narottam Das Thakur says. And this Brahmana had made this instruction that you should read Gita. I said, but I didn't know how to read, so I was just keeping the book in front of me. I said, but why there are tears? I said, because whenever I read this Bhagavad Gita, I just remember this beautiful picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjun. And I'm amazed to see the qualities of the Lord. How can he do such menial, humble service? And because of that, that picture which comes to my mind, I'm constantly tears in my eyes. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all the imports of the Vedas are revealed to you. What he said? All the imports, everything the Shruti and the Smriti can teach you are revealed to you because you know this truth. The truth is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. There's a beautiful discussion. This was pointed to me by, this is one of the favorite points of Kishori Mataji, my wife. And she loves this point, and I also learned this beautiful point which she was discussing. There was a discussion between Vedavyas and Vasudeva and Narad Muni in 11th canto Bhagavatam. And in one of the purports, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is being quoted, and one of the reasons Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes why the jiva soul comes to the material world. We all know, Krishna bhulya jiva bhogavancha kare nikate maasthane japotiya dhare, that because we have forgotten Krishna, we come to this material world. Krishna bahir mukha jiva bhogavancha. I mean, so we know the reasons, because we have been away from Krishna, we come here to enter the material world. Yeah. Because we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna. Yes, that's true. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the reason why a jiva soul comes to the material world is because he has forgotten the art or the importance of worshipping the spiritual master. The reason why we come again and again here is because we have forgotten what is called Acharya Upashanam.
We have Bhagavat Upasana. We worship the Lord, Bhagavan. Upasana means worship. Bhagavat Upasana means to worship the Lord. Vaishnava Upasana means to worship the Vaishnavas. And the supremest of all the Vaishnavas is the spiritual master, Acharya Upasana. Because the Jiva soul has forgotten the importance and the way to worship an Acharya, a spiritual master, he comes again and again to the material world. And till the time he comes again into the material world, the spiritual master comes again and again to the material world to deliver him and take him back to Godhead, to teach him how to worship the spiritual master. Very interesting purport by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Very profound and very deep and very revealing. Because Krishna is too far. How do we really understand Krishna? Krishna is just too far and too profound to understand. We need somebody to really give us that connection to Krishna. And that's the spiritual master, the transparent via media, who takes us, who gives us understanding of who is Krishna. So to considering this particular point of the reason why we are in the material world is because we have forgotten the need to worship the spiritual master. And that's why this verse is very, very important. Krishna himself is saying, please understand, if somebody, you know, some big person comes to you and he tells you that please, there is a particular guest coming, please take care of him. And you ask him a question, my dear sir, how much honor should I give him? I said, you honor him as much as you honor me. That's the honor you should give. Then you understand, yes, this person must be really special. Because I honor this great man, and this great man is telling me to honor somebody who's coming. And when he asked him how much to honor, he said, you worship him and honor him as much as you honor me. Krishna is very clearly stating that one should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should know the Acharya or the spiritual master as myself. Respect him as myself. He is not saying at the same time that Acharya is me. So there is no question of any misunderstanding that Guru is God. That's a very dangerous understanding. Guru can never be God. But he is the transparent via media of God, is Ashray Vigraha, as mentioned in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful word. Ashray Vigraha. Archa Vigraha. Archa means to, you know, Archa means to worship. Ashray Vigraha. The form where we can take complete shelter of. There's a need to take shelter. So there's, you know, I'm just remember this many years. I mean, I was a child. I used to hear this a beautiful Hindi song or bhajan. That Suraj ki garmi se jalte huve man ko mil jaye taruvar ki chhaya, aisa hi sukh mere man ko milaya me jab se charan teri aaya mere Ram. That because I've been struggling, I'm sure many of you have heard this beautiful bhajan. Suraj ki garmi se jalte huve. So it is said that because of the scorching heat of the sun, I've been burnt by the scorching heat. And then when this heat is just hitting your head at 12 o'clock in the noon, and you come under a tree, and you stand and say, very soon we all will experience it. If you don't have experience right now, the summer is very soon going to start, and the scorching heat in Mumbai will start. And we'll be walking and we'll be searching for a shade. Then we come to a shade. He said, oh, what a relief. Yes, we all experience this. We all need shelter. Without shelter, we are exposed to the weather of the material world. The cruel weather of the material world. Samsara dava nalalida loka. The burning, scorching forest fire of the material world. In the forest fire, can you ever expect anything cool?
It's a blazing forest fire. We sing this, the first word that we sing in the morning that Srila Prabhupada has given us to sing. The first word. The first, every day we are supposed to sing this. Samsara dava nalalidha loka. So we are beginning our day by reminding ourselves that this is samsara davanala. The samsara is davanala, is a forest fire. Dranaya karunya ghana ghanatvam. So first we are establishing the fact of the material world, and then we are talking about the antidote to that material world. Yes, it's davanala. But there's a beautiful cloud of grace which is flowing on us. Praptasya kalyana gunarna vashya vande guru shri charanaravind. I worship that spiritual master. And then we begin our day, we sing this beautiful, you know, guruvastak prayers. So it is very, very important to understand the need to, excuse me, take shelter of the spiritual master. So today we are going to dedicate our discussion on this very, very important topic based on the beautiful words that Srila Prabhupada has arranged us for to speak today. And on this auspicious occasion of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disappearance, appearance, Prabhupada's spiritual master, and disappearance of Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. So as an offering to Gaur Govind Maharaj, you know, I would like to just repeat a few of the things that I was reading about what he spoke about the tattva of the spiritual master. Gaur Govind Maharaj was one of the most realized devotees in our society. And his depth of understanding is very, very, his understanding is very profound, very deep. One of our very favorite speakers. So we'll be discussing about the tattva of the spiritual master or the guru that he spoke. He says that we sing Shri Guru Charana Padma. Shri Guru Charana Padma. He said the word Shri, he was analyzing each and every word. The word Shri is not an ordinary word. We can't just add Shri to any name. We said Shriman or Shri, George Harrison Prabhupada called him. So it's a title of respect. We don't just say Guru. Yes, we do say Guru, but Shri Guru, Narottam Das Thakur writes, Shri Guru Charana. So Shri means, he says, Shobha or beauty. Shri means Sampada. Shri means wealth. Shri means Shrestha. Shri means asset. The word Shri has so many beautiful meanings. Shri means shobha or beauty. It means transcendental wealth. It means shrest. It means the topmost person and asset. So when you say Shri Guru is basically talks about the spiritual master. And why is this? He explains that. Why do we say Charana Padma? What is the meaning of Padma? Anybody? Padma means a lotus. So he says, Shri Guru Charana Padma, why are the feet compared to be like the lotus? So he explains that the bumblebee goes to every flower. I'm sure many of us have spent time in seeing how the bumblebee goes from flower to flower to flower, sucking the nectar from each flower, and it goes to all the flowers. All the flowers which have some nectar, some honey. But for the bumblebee, the most nectarine flower, where the most tasty, juicy, now honey is anyway juicy, but the most nectarine honey that the honeybee can derive is the lotus flower, as explained by Gaur Govind Maharaj. So the bumblebee goes from flower to flower to flower to flower to flower. The bumblebee is something that we should always meditate upon, because we should be in the mood of the bumblebee. What does the bumblebee do? The bumblebee just takes the essence from everything and ignores everything else other than the essence.
Have you ever seen the bumblebee sitting on any filth or dirt? Ever? But you see flies sitting on filth and dirt, and they ignore the essence, and they just sit on filth and dirt. Isn't it? Sometimes you may have filth all over, but there's some of the flowers that are sprouting from that filth. The honeybee will ignore all the filth and dirt and just sit on the flower, take the nectar and fly away. But a fly, it's a whole garden of roses all over, acres and acres of roses flower. And there's a small piece of dirt or stool lying in one corner for some reason. The fly will ignore the whole acres of rose and sit and try to take the juice from that filth and dirt. A Vaishnava should not be like the fly, but should be like the bumblebee, the honeybee, eager to take the nectar from all the places. So the bumblebee takes nectar from everywhere, but the most preferred destination for the bumblebee to go, if he finds, is the lotus flower, because that's where the real most tasty nectar is sitting for him. So similarly, the Gorgo Mahadeva explaining, the jiva soul is like the bumblebee that's traveling. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. Brahmanda Brahmite. I mean, I was just explaining the other day to some devotees that if you find somebody in the city of Mumbai, they say, where are you going? They say, I don't know. I'm just sitting in the train. I don't know. Where the train takes me. You will say, this person is quite off. He's crazy. What is he doing sitting in a train? Doesn't even know where to go. Because he has no aim. That's, you're talking about a small city of Mumbai. But we as jiva souls have been traveling since time immemorial, aimlessly, not knowing where to go. Not just in Mumbai, not just in India, but Brahmanda. Just traveling here and there, left and right, everywhere. Kono Bhagyavanji, even that Brahmanda traveling, the suffering soul, like the bumblebee goes, tries to find nectar from different places. He goes and tries to find nectar in wealth. He finds some nectar. But I said, no, that's not nectar. That's why Govindas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Idhana yovana putra parijana ite kiyache paratitire kamala dalajala jivana talamala bhajau haripada nitire. The only nectar we'll find in Hari Bhajan. Why? Because Idhana, this wealth, yovana, this youth, this relatives, putra parijana, the pleasure derived from them is as short-lived as a drop of water tottering on the petal of a lotus. Again, we are talking about lotus, but some other aspect of a lotus, the leaf of a lotus, which is very, very slippery. But when the water falls, it drips down. The pleasure derived from these things is as short-lived as the time that a water drop is sitting on the petal of a lotus leaf. So we should be seeking the real nectar. So we are, Gorgon Maharaj explained that we are trying to go to different places, try to get the nectar. He said, as we are trying to get the nectar, he said, sometimes the bee goes to a flower called Ketaki. I mean, I searched on the internet and I found the flower, the photo, and we all know what the flower is. We may not know what it is called Ketaki, but it's a beautiful, very, very fragrant flower called Ketaki. But the interesting aspect of this flower Ketaki is that it is extremely fragrant, but it has thorns very close to the flowers. So the bumblebee is mesmerized to go to this Ketaki flower. And he says, oh, this is so nectarine smell. I must just go, and he just flies. But as he flies and tries to take the nectar, as he is flying inside, his wings get torn, his body gets torn. It's this bleeding. And takes the nectar. But while he's taking the nectar, there's blood. His wings, I mean, when I say blood, I don't know whether bees bleed. But they do get cut. And there's something that comes out of their body, whether it is blood or something. I don't know. I'll leave it to the scientists to really decipher that. But the wings get cut, Gorgon Maharaj was explaining, the wings get cut and they really suffer like anything because the thorns are very pricky and sharp and it tears their body. They get the nectar because it is definitely very, very nice fragrance and nice taste of honey that is there in the Ketki flower. But they get bruised and cut. So in that very, very tormented situation, the bee is thinking, where do I go now to get refuge? I want nectar, but where do I go now? Finally, the bee flies all over different flowers, gets cut and bruised. Then he comes and lands in the lotus flower and goes right beneath and just rests there and sucks the nectar from the lotus flower. Isn't it not very synonymous to what is the state of all of us? Haven't we all, since time in memory, we don't know about the time in memory, but in this lifetime, haven't we all just suffered to find pleasure in different ways, to go here and there, to name, fame, adoration, distinction, through sense gratification, through pleasure from the family life, to pleasure from money? Haven't we gone to all our places, but we have been cheated again and again and again? I remember many, many years back, Sachinandan Swami Maharaj was here, and he was, you know, he is very, very graphic in his description, for those who know him, the way he speaks, very graphic. So he was explaining in a very nice way. He said, the jiva soul is sitting, and Maya, in a way, as a very nice, apparent looking mother, she says, oh, please jiva soul sit, and the Maya caresses you, and then you feel, oh, it is so nice, I'm feeling so, I've got a nice degree now, I've got a nice job, and Maya is caressing you, and you feel nice. And when somebody caresses you and you're sleeping on somebody's lap, you fall asleep. And Sadhana Swami in his own way, beautifully explaining, and then you fall asleep. And then he was saying that then things start coming out of your mouth. You're so deep asleep. And then at the most unexpected moment, Maharaj explained, when you're deep asleep, you're feeling very, very peaceful. The lady on whose lap you're sleeping, she slaps you, fuck that, on your lap. Have you experienced this? I hope you don't. You're sleeping on somebody's lap and you think that she's my mother. She's making me so sleep so nicely. But at the most unexpected moment, slaps you. That's what is the nature of the material energy. That's her duty. She doesn't like to do it. She says, Mahamaya says, what is this service that Krishna you have given me? You know, it is not that she likes to do this. She's not a sadist, but that's your duty. Just keep on slapping people. Make them go to sleep and slap. Go to sleep and slap. Isn't that the story of the material world? We feel comfortable, and again get slapped. Again we find some other way to be comfortable, again get slapped. And that is what exactly is the nature of the honeybee, which is going to different flowers and suck the nectar, gets bruised, gets cut. We are attracted to the smell and the fragrance and the taste, but gets cut. And then he goes to the lotus flower and feels very, very comfortable and to take the nectar from the lotus flower. So as explained, Sri Guru Charana Padma. That's why the lotus feet of the spiritual master is compared to be like the lotus flower, where we can find complete refuge, complete shelter. We don't need to go anywhere else. Arana koryo mane asha. Because we find complete shelter in the lotus feet of the spiritual master. We don't need anything else. Or rather, to put it in a better way, we should not need anything else after having taken shelter of the spiritual master. We should not need anything else. So similarly, a jiva soul finds a nectar. And then it's also explained that one of the problems of the jiva soul is we have defect of the eyes. Gorgon Maharaj is explaining that we have defect of the eyes. We don't see. That's why he said, Chakshudana diloye janme janme prabhu se, right? In the song, it's Chakshudan. Why is he saying that Guru has given me Chakshudan? What does it mean of Chakshudan? It means he has given me eyes to see. Because we can't see.
Because as I explained our Shastras, we don't see through our eyes. You will wonder, what do you mean we don't see through eyes? What do we see with? That in spiritual life we see through with our ears. Because what we see is not what it is, but what we hear is what it is. To just, it is explained, it is a Narakya Buddhi. What are the four things? Narakya Buddhi, one is to see the deity as stone, right? If you see the deity as simply stone, then to see the spiritual master as ordinary, to see the Vaishnavas belonging to a particular caste or creed, and what's the fourth one? That's the fourth one. So if you have this four understanding, if you see the spiritual master as ordinary human being, to see the deities as simply stone, to see the Vaishnavas as belonging to a particular caste, creed and giving, and seeing them as based on the externals, there is this Narakya Buddhi. It is hellish mentality. So we have a problem with, because we try to analyze things on what we see. We have so much faith in our eyes. So we have defective vision. Your spiritual life is not about what we see, as I said. Spiritual life is all about what we hear. So there's a need to cure our eyesight. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha. I worship that spiritual master who by a surgical instrument has removed the cataract from my eyes and removed from ignorance and given me knowledge. Remove the cataract which creates darkness. Once you remove the cataract, then you can see properly. So explaining that one of the most powerful ways to improve your eyes is by using honey. And I was not able sure that how can honey be used for eyesight curing. But I searched and I spoke to one Ayurvedic doctor. I said, yes, the best medicine to cure eye defects is honey. You put honey in your eyes. And of all, the doctor confirmed, of course, I have faith in Gaur Govind Swami, but I also wanted to have faith whether the medical science is supporting. So the doctor said, yes, the best honey, which is the most costliest honey, the honey which is found near a big pool of lotus is the most costliest. I found out that also. That this honey, which is called Padma Madhu, that honey is most costly. Because that is the honey which is made by the lotus flowers, which the honeybees have taken nectar from. So to cure the defect of the eyes, Gaur Govind Maharaj was explaining, one of the best medicines is the honey from the lotus, Padma Madhu. You cure the eyes. But he said, the Padma Madhu can at the most cure the eyes, the physical eyes. But it can't go into the heart. It doesn't do anything to the heart. But the lotus feet of spiritual master and the words that we hear from the spiritual master not only cures our vision, not only gives us the right vision, but goes deep into our hearts and removes all the anarthas from the heart. That is why the lotus feet of the spiritual master is called Padma. Because when you worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and what does it mean to worship this lotus feet? It obviously does mean sometimes to massage, if you have this chance to massage the feet. But doesn't this mean to massage? It means that you worship and honor and respect and to live by the words of the spiritual master. That's the meaning of worshipping the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So when you worship the lotus feet of the spiritual master, that's like you're worshipping. And by worship of that, it not only cures your vision. Om Agyan Timir, it doesn't only take you out from the ignorance which is caused by lack of knowledge. Your eyes open up because your heart, all the anarthas, abhadra, vidunasta abhadrani, all the abhadra things are gone.
and bhakti is established in the heart as an irrevocable fact. That's the power of the spiritual master's mercy. And then he goes on to explain that we are all suffering from this, what is called the bhava rog. The jiva soul is supported by what? Bhava rog. We all know disease, rog. But what is bhava rog? Bhava rog means the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. Bhava rog. And when you have a very chronic disease, what do you do? You have a chronic disease. Somebody has a chronic eczema, you know, a chronic the skin disease or chronic, you know, something to do with the stomach, chronic problem, you got disease. Then you take so many pills. Gorgon Maharaj was explaining that you take so many strong pills, sometimes allopathic pills like steroids, sometimes powerful allopathic medicines, homeopathic medicines. And still the chronic disease does not get cured. Is this there? But what happens with so many medicines, he was explaining that it basically completely reduces the vitality of our life. Haven't we seen people who take a lot of medicines? You know, they are left with no digestion practically. I mean, too many medicines. They just have the whole vitality is gone because the medicines just completely, well, the mand, the digestion is mand. It's just practically no digestion. And if there's no digestion, if you eat food and doesn't get digested, how are you going to get the pran to live? The pran comes by digestion, right? You eat food and it digested well, then you have the pran to live. But if there's no digestion, how can you get the pran? The fire of digestion, Krishna says, I am that fire. It's very interesting. The fire which is there in our jatragni, Krishna says, I am that fire. Because that fire is which digests the food and which gives us the pran to live. But if there's no digestion because of constantly taking chronic medicines, I mean, because of chronic disease, we take so many medicines. Our pran is gone. So he explains again that what is the solution to such chronic diseases? Again, I checked and he says, as the Ayurvedic Kaviraj, the Padma Madhu is the best medicine. The honey. He said the doctor advises you drink honey. And the honey slowly brings the vitality back to the life the vitality of digestion. Similarly, Gorgui Maharaj says, he calls the spiritual master very nicely, he says, the sadhu vaidya. Very interesting word. Sadhu vaidya. So we have different names to the spiritual master. We talked about Ashray Vigraha. We talk about the supreme personality of the servitor Godhead. And then he's talking about Sadhu Vaidya. He's a Vaidya. He's a doctor. Because he's a perfect doctor. He gives us the right medicine to cure the chronic disease of Bhava Rog. He tells us. His Vani is that Padma Madhu. His Vani is that powerful medicine which will cure the disease of material life. So he said that when you take the shelter of the spiritual master, you can be cured of this disease. Isn't it interesting how deeply he has analyzed the word Padma, Charana Padma, and then the last but the most profound and most important for all of us, understanding of why the spiritual master's lotus feet is called lotus, why the feet is called lotus. He said, when the sun is fully risen, the lotus is fully open. Yes? We know this? When the sun is shining, when the sun is setting, the lotus slowly closes. As in the beginning, he explains, the disciple, the crying, the desperation of the disciple is like the sun. And because of the crying, the sun is all, the lotus is always open. The mercy of the Guru is always open. But, he said, unfortunately many times, the disciple loses, he uses the word, he loses the bhakti vritti. He loses the enthusiasm of Krishna consciousness after spending some time in Krishna consciousness, after a few years of Krishna consciousness. Because of Vaishnav aparad, Nam aparad, or being very duplicitous. Isn't it what we have seen? I mean, personally speaking, when I analyze in my own life, the best intensity I had in my own Krishna consciousness was at the beginning of my Krishna consciousness. Because, as I was explaining many times, when we are new to Krishna consciousness, everybody is a pure devotee, yes? And you are the most fallen, right? I remember when I came and I heard about pure devotee, I said, oh my God, everybody is a pure devotee. And I am the most fallen. I was convinced. I was convinced beyond doubt. And then I spent some more time in Krishna consciousness. I started interacting with devotees more closely. Then I was thinking that not everybody is a pure devotee. Yes, many times people have defects, people have problems. But I am the most fallen. I was still convinced. I'm the most fallen. But not everybody is a pure devotee. And as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, as we become more, we get some position, we get some way to help devotees, counselor, mentor, blah, 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 what different designation we get. And people come to us with problems and we start hearing things which others don't know many times. Then we start thinking, hey, my God, there's so many devotees who have problems. There are very few people who are pure devotees. And after all, you know, if you're not rightly situated, you start giving classes and people come to you and say, Prabhu, I'm very inspired to hear your class. Krishna spoke through you, so we hear all these things. And then you start thinking, if you're not really guarding against, or you're not really imbibing the mood of Trinadapi Sunichena, that verse, as Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, you should always wear this verse around your neck. If you're not very, very abiding by that verse, then you start thinking that people are not pure devotees. There are many people who have struggles. And I am not that bad after all, you know. Because, you know, how if I'm fallen, how can Krishna speak through me? And if I'm fallen, how can devotees get inspired? So I'm not that bad after all. I'm quite okay. But the sad part is, my dear friends, if you are not safeguarding yourself against this mentality, in due course, and it is not a hypothetical situation that I'm speaking about, in due course, devotees may think that everybody is a useless devotee and I am the only pure devotee. Because they don't understand. Only I understand the mood of my guru. Nobody understands the mood. I know because I am his antaranga bhakta. I am a very close disciple of his. I understand his mood. It does happen. Please understand, it is not a hypothetical situation. If you are not safeguarding, you can be in that crazy phantasmagoria. This crazy, you know, situation. This Pondraka-like facade we could all have. How Pondrak was convinced, right? I mean, in our Shastra we have Pondrak was convinced beyond doubt that he is Krishna. And people were laughing at him. He had stuck a golden hair. He had, some other got some money. And he had stuck maybe four hands or two more hands. He was some other... You know, he had powers. He was quite a powerful person. But, you know, you are not God. You can be powerful, but you can't be Krishna. But he was convinced he was Krishna. And Krishna laughed. If you read that chapter, Krishna was laughing seeing him. I said, hey, you are really convinced you are me. And Krishna just killed him. A very interesting chapter. It is one of the Hasya Rasas in Bhagavatam. He said Bhagavatam is filled with all the rasas, right? So the Hasiras, one of the Aspira Hasiras, if you read the chapter of Pondraka getting killed by Krishna, amazing how Krishna was having a hearty laugh when he saw Pondraka. And we are laughing, but Krishna must be laughing at us when he thinks that you are something great. But Prabhupada said to that devotee, when the devotee said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you are most nothing. You are simply insignificant. When you think you are most something, Krishna laughs. And we are not taking the theka of giving Krishna any laughter. Don't make him laugh. Why should Krishna laugh? Krishna has enough coward boys to make him laugh when they crack jokes in Vrindavan. But let us not make Krishna laugh at us, at our stupidity. Let us be realized. So when a devotee spends a lot of time in Krishna consciousness and he loses this bhakti vritti, as Gaur Guru Maharaj was explaining, the cryingness is gone, the desperation is gone, the longing to be following the order of the spiritual master is no more. When you start thinking that I know enough, I don't need to hear from my guru,
I know what to do. The desire to associate with devotees is not so much. And all of us, let's introspect ourselves. We don't need to really look at others. Think for ourselves first. And see what is our situation. Is my enthusiasm to hear decreasing? Is my enthusiasm to be with my spiritual master, to hear his vani, decreasing? Or do I think, oh, I've heard this, I don't need to hear it again? Is our desire to speak more and hear less? We are eager to speak. If we are eager to speak and not eager to hear, it is a very, very dangerous, unhealthy, jaundiced situation, my dear friends. Because if you are just eager to speak, we must speak because kirtan. But without Shravan, how can you do kirtan? So profuse hearing and then speaking. And speaking that too, not for everybody, for yourself first, my dear friends. We are speaking for ourselves. And if people learn something, that's a byproduct benefit. But people, we speak for our own. Because when we speak, you are supposed to be, you know, stamping what you read or what you have heard. And you are supposed to follow what you have spoken. If you have integrity, integrity means to follow what you speak. Many times we love to speak, but when you see our own lives, there's practically nothing that we follow. That's what we call the halo, the hollowness of spiritual life. And believe me, if you are not careful, after 20, 30 years, you will find yourself extremely hollow. And you say, what did I do? You know, I thought I was, I even dressed the deities. I did so much of seva, but it's hollow because there was no crying. And cry not just crocodile tears. You know, if you program yourself, you learn, you do some training. It is explained that if you do some training, you can learn to cry. Anytime you can cry. People are there. They are so well trained. They just close their eyes and tears just starts flowing. We are not talking about those type of tears. Because Prabhupada said those tears actually wash out all the imports of the Vedas. They wash out all the understanding. We are not talking about those sahaja tears. We are talking about the desperateness that I need to surrender. That I am so far away. I still have a long way to go. That the desperation that Srila Prabhupada had when he wrote that bhajan. Krishna taba punya habe bhai. Punya koribe jabe radha rani kushi habe. Where he is crying for the mercy of his spiritual master. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Satish Sutta Prihati. He is crying when he is on the steamship of Jaladuta. He is crying. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. He was staying in Vrindavan. He was a respectable Brijabasi at that time. He had achieved everything that he wanted. But still, he finds the need to cry out for the blessings of his spiritual master to do anything that he wants to do. Yeah. That desperation will not come if you think you are something. So Gaur Govind Maharaj is beautifully explaining, my dear friends, let's remember this. The sun, he comparing the sun which keeps the lotus open to the crying out of the devotee. Until the time you are crying out, the mercy of the spiritual master is all open. But suppose you stop crying, the lotus is closed. You may have the name of a spiritual master on your bead bag or on your books, and you be called as a disciple of so and so, but there's no mercy, my dear friend. There's nothing flowing because the lotus is closed. There's no fragrance, there's no nectar coming because we have forgotten the bhakta vritti. The devotee has forgotten the bhakti vritti. So let us always have the mood of crying. And when does the crying come? When we realize we are always, always, always dependent upon the mercy of my spiritual master. So in this regard, there's we hear this philosophy, and it would be so wonderful to really find examples of people who are living by this examples. And we have unlimited such examples. I get difficulty to figure out which one to speak, considering the shortage of time. But one most amazing example of a person who is so great, but yet so sold out to his spiritual master. This is a personality from South India.
name is Khuresh. The most glorious disciple of Shripad Ramanujacharya. His whole life is worshipable. We will talk about that aspect which is relevant to our discussion today. There was a king, Kolatunga, very, very cruel king, worshipper of Lord Shiva. And he called Ramanujacharya. He was against Ramanujacharya because Ramanuja was preaching the Vaishnava philosophy and he was attracting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people. Kolatunga said, we should have a debate. And it was known that this king was extremely cruel. And Khuresh told Ramanujacharya, said, please, Gurudev, let me go instead of you. He doesn't know how you look. So I'll change your dress, I'll wear your sannyas dress, and he was a grihastha, you wear my dress, and let me go. Ramon said, no, how can you go? I know he's a cruel king, he can do anything. He said, that's the reason I'm saying, let me go, please. He was so desperately to serve his guru. Ramon said that, how can I say no? Your desire to serve me is so intense. How can I say no to your desire? Please go. So he went, along with Mahapurna, another disciple of Ramanujacharya. Mahapurna and Khuresh went. And Khuresh was such a scholarly person because he was such a sold out slave of his spiritual master. All the revealed scriptures were revealed in his heart. He could defeat the scholars in no time and establish Vaishnavism as the highest. And Kolatunga was very angry. As how dare you defeat my scholars? And he ordered that both of you, Mahapurna, and your eyes will be plucked by hot rods, burning rods of fire. He plucked out their eyes. It's gruesome, to say the least. Most gruesome. This plucked out the eyes of Khuresh. And they took the bloody body of Khuresh and Mahapurna, the soldiers, and they dropped it in the jungle. Said, this is bleeding profusely. Khuresh was crying in happiness. He was thanking the soldiers. Thank you very much. I said, please thank your king that you have used my body in the service of my spiritual master. Otherwise, this body was of no use. Now my body has been used in the service of my spiritual master. I thank you profusely. The soldiers were bewildered. What sort of person is this? He has lost his eyes in the most gruesome way. But he's thanking. So anyway, Ramacharya was in Melakote. He was hiding in Melakote because the king was still around and he was going to do a lot of cruelty and a lot of violence. Ramanujacharya was there, and then some of the Khuresh came to meet Ramanujacharya at Melakote. That place is very much there, very close to Bangalore. And then Ramanujacharya said, you go to Kanchipuram and go to the and worship Lord Varadraj. And please worship the Lord by singing beautiful, write beautiful poems and sing these beautiful poems. And please the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased with you and he comes, because Varadraj deity, for those of you who know, he is very reciprocative deity. The deity talks to his devotees. Goshtipurna was one devotee, who was a great devotee of Varadraj. And his service was to fan the Lord. And as he was fanning the Lord, Goshtipurna would talk to the Lord. Lord would ask, oh, so what is the news today? And he would say, well, the news is so and so. And then he would fan. Can you imagine? That was the relation. And Varadraj is very, very reciprocative deity. He said, go and worship Varadraj. Khuresh went there with his wife. He was blind. It took him months and years. I mean, maybe months to reach there. And he wrote beautiful poems. He was blind. He was just wrote. And then he was singing those poems for the pleasure of Lord Varadraj. And Lord Varadraj appeared to him. He said, please ask Khuresh, I'm so pleased with you. Ask what you want. Ramanujacharya had ordered him that when the Lord is pleased with you, you ask back your eyes. Khuresh was such an amazing devotee. He asked, say, oh my dear Lord, this king Kolatunga, he was anyway dead by now. He is no more. This Kolatunga is going to suffer like anything because of the atrocities he has caused to the Vaishnavas. Please grant him Vaikuntha. The Lord said, so be it.
And the Lord went. And Ramanujan heard this, that what have you asked? And the Lord was pleased, the Lord was there. I told you to ask for your eyes. Why didn't you ask? And Kuresh sent the message that, Lord, next time when the Lord comes and is pleased with me, I'll ask for my eyes. Promise. Then again he was writing different poems and he was singing to the Lord, Varadraj. Let's hear this story, my dear friends. Let us hear this story, not just as a story, but let us go deep in our hearts. Let us let the heart get melted. Yeah, this story should melt our hearts and create such devotion to our own respective spiritual masters. So let us hear this story with intensity. So he was writing this poems, and again the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord said, what do you want, my dear Quraysh? I said, this disciple of mine, there was a disciple of Quraysh named Chatugram. Chatugram was his disciple, the grand disciple of Ramanujacharya, who actually was working for Kolatunga, and he was the one who instigated Kolatunga. He became a deviant disciple. He instigated Kolatunga to call Ramanuja to have a debate, and he told him that you should destroy all the Vaishnavas because he had deviated from his guru's service. He said, this disciple, because he has deviated from guru's service, he is going to suffer in hellish condition for the rest of his life. Please, my dear Lord, grant Vaikuntha to Chatugram. And the Lord said, yeah, okay, because you are saying this. He goes to Vaikuntha. And Ramanuja said, what are you doing? The Lord is coming and getting pleased with you. You are not asking for your eyes. Your body is my property. Ramanujacharya was very stern at this time. And I don't want an incomplete property. Ask for your eyes back. Quite a stern. I mean, you know, for all of us, this is not required, right? We will say, "Aank dev fata fata." I mean, before even the Lord says, Bhagwan, chalo, aank. I mean, you don't need such orders from the Guru. But Guru is saying, now I order you. And the Guru had to use some strong, powerful philosophy to convince him. He said, your body is my property. And it was a philosophical point. And your property is incomplete because you don't have eyes. You get your eyes because I want a complete property. So he said, at least this will be sort of bought by you. Quite a strong argument. So again the Lord appeared. It's a long story. Again he appeared. He said, what do you want? A few portion of the Sri Vaishnavas say that Quraysh asked. He said, my Guru has an incomplete property. There are two things which are missing in the property. Please give those two things. He didn't even say eyes. He didn't want to say anything for himself. This is the selflessness of a disciple. He said, the two things which are not there as part of to make the property complete, the Lord gave him these two eyes. That is one aspect. But majority of the Sri Vaishnavas say, as the Quraysh asked, he said, I don't need my vision. What do I need these material eyes for? Because I don't want to see anything in the material world. All I ask from you, O Lord, is two things. Let in my heart I constantly see your form and the worshipable form of my spiritual master. Let in my heart, that is one wish. And the second wish, let everybody close to me go back to Godhead. Majority of Sri Vaishnavas say this is what happened. So Ramanuja asked Quraysh when he asked, because Quraysh had no eyes. He said, can you tell me what is the Lord's form today? What is he wearing? And Quraysh, from within his heart, from his Hriday Chakshu, he just said, he described the beautiful form of the Lord, exact to the minutest details, the flowers, the clothes that he was wearing, everything to the minute details. And he described the form of Ramanuja with minute details. So after seeing this, Ramanuja started jumping. He threw his chadar up. Started jumping. Do you all want to know why Ramanuja was jumping? You want to know this? It's very interesting. This is the sweetest part of the disciple-guru relationship. Ramanuja threw his chadar when he saw that Quraysh could see without having the eyes to see. He could see from the heart. He threw his chadar and he said, jumping. And the devotees asked, Ramanuja, why are you jumping? Quraysh has not yet got his eyes back. Why are you jumping? And so I'm jumping because the second prayer that he has asked is that let people close to me go back to Godhead. And I'm sure as a guru, I'm close to him. I'm going to go back to Godhead. Hari bol, hari bol.
This is guru-disciple relationship. Kuresh was sold out to his spiritual master and his spiritual master was sold out to him. So that is what we understand as real, taking shelter of Guru's lotus feet. Today is, there's no prasad, right, today? So of course, I'm not in, I will just take another few minutes because we cannot just discuss, today we cannot leave the discussion. So today, of course, we will take a very short time. I'm sure Kalakanta Prabhu in the afternoon will be describing, maybe I'm not sure, but about this glorious occasion of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's appearance day. I was thinking today is a very complete day because we have the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And how was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur born? Bhakti Thakur was feeling so much desperate need of having a powerful soul because he was seeing the condition of the material world. There was so much compassion in his heart. In the mood of Advaita Acharya, there was so much intense compassion in his heart. He said, I am trying to do something which I can, but still it is not complete. Oh my dear Lord, he was praying. Let there be a ray of Vishnu. Let there be your ray who can come as my son. So that who can help in this to spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in every town and village. Prithvi vithe achijato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hobe moro naam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did write the book and he sent it to the McGill University and other universities overseas. And of course he had Namahatta programs which was primarily focused in Bengal area. But he said, just restricted to Bengal, Lord Jagannath is not just Udiyanath or Bengal Nath. It's Jagannath. It should be spread all over the world. But you need a powerful devotee to do that. And he was invoking the blessings of the Lord so that a powerful son is born. And that's when Bimal Prasad, he was named Bimal Prasad after Bimala Devi, the beautiful deity in the courtyard. We all must have gone when we recently went to Jagannath Puri, the beautiful, powerful deity of Bimala Devi is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur named her as a Prasadi of Bimala Devi. So it's called Bimal Prasad. So he came to this world by the invoking the blessings of the Lord. Perfect way of birth. This verse teaches us the perfect way to live by seeing the spiritual master as non-different than Lord himself. So perfect way to be born, perfect way of living, the art of birth, the art of living. And as we'll discuss a little later, the art of dying in the form of the beautiful disciplines of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So today we have all the three. So anyway, so Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was born a powerful scholar. I mean, we could speak for hours and hours about him. But he was a Simha Guru. And one of his most powerful ways is he was an absolute person who would be attached to the principles and not to the rituals. Utility is the principle. Many times, you know, we devotees get too attached to the rituals. We become very karma kandi in way of doing things. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do this. But we forget the essence. The whole purpose of the ritual is to get the essence, right? You follow the ritual so that as you have the essence. But if in the ritual you forget the essence, then what's the use? So one of my favorite stories is, you know, this shows the mood of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was constructing a temple. And he got a lot of construction workers. The temple had to be completed in a particular time. And the construction workers were constructing, but they would take breaks every few minutes or few hours because they had to smoke bidi. Because you know without bidi they don't get the kick maybe too. And of course that time And there was no way they would get ready-made BD packets, you know, just. But they had to roll the BDs. So you have tobacco. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it. But I've seen people doing it. That they roll the BDs, they put the tobacco, and then they smoke. And it takes so much time. And they would take so much time in rolling these BDs. So this is the powerful Acharya, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. Essence was to make the temple. Right? So he said, all brahmacharis, you sit down, roll BDs. So the construction workers, they don't spend time in rolling BDs. You will wonder, what is he doing? I mean, don't go into the details. See the essence. He was a person who drove in Radha Kund in a car. And even now, you know, car is, I mean, not so much rare, but it is still rare in Radha Kund car. I'm talking about 1929 is when this happened. He came in a car to Radha Kund because he wanted to establish the principle in a most profound way of Yukta Vairagya. The things we can be used in Krishna service can be used. There's no need to, because there was so much of people just giving up things, and sort of Babaji mood was so much there to give up things. But say, why should you give up something when you can use in Krishna service? That's the highest understanding of Vairagya. If you can use something in Krishna service and you give it up, that's Phalgu Vairagya. That's fake renunciation. And to establish this point, he said, I'll come in a car. A sadhu, a sannyasi, coming in a car was unheard of at that time. And of course, the most beautiful contribution that he did in our life, what has happened in 1922, Ulta Dangadanshan Road, he met Srila Prabhupada. In 1933, he initiated Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan. And Srila Prabhupada, his whole life was completely dedicated to the service of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And today we will also discuss the disciplines of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. I think a few of us must have seen him. I was fortunate to see him. I remember when we had gone after our marriage. That year we went and he was still there in 1995. He left his body in 1996. In 1995, he was still there, and we took his blessings. I remember very, very, very fortunate. So, Govinda Maharaj, this was a time in 1996. It was the Prabhupada centennial. He had a big program in his village, Gadaigiri, and there was a temple. And the temple, there was big deities. There was one very, very elderly person who was his disciple, of course, but elderly. And he told that, I will not see the deity installation, you will see it. And the devotee said, Maharaj, what are you talking? I mean, you know, I am much older to you, and very soon the installation is going to happen. He said, no, I will not see the installation, you will see it. And from there he went on to Bhubaneswar. He did a huge programs in the temple of Bhubaneswar, the Prabhupada Central programs. Then he came, Gorgon Maharaj came to Shidham Mayapur, and he was on this very, very day, 9th February 1996. On the holy day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance, that is today. Two very, very senior ISKCON devotees came to meet, because many of his godbrothers would also seek tremendous shelter. This is the wonderful thing, that you can take shelter, you can find shelter of your spiritual master in your godbrothers also. Many times say, well, my guru is not there, so now I don't have anybody to take shelter. No! The senior godbrothers of Bhakti Gorgon Maharaj came, and they took shelter. They were asking various questions. They said, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take residence in Jagannath Puri? They asked him this question. And of course, it's time consuming, but Gorgon Maharaj was explaining in detail about the inner reason of how Lord Jagannath is nothing but a manifestation of Krishna in intense separation from Srimati Radharani. And how Jagannath is intensely in separation, he wants to meet Radharani in Kurukshetra. And that epitome of separation is exhibited in Jagannath Puri, where the temple of Puri is considered to be Kurukshetra, and Gundicha is considered to be Vrindavan. And that most highest level of separation which Krishna exhibited was in Jagannapuri. That's where Lord Chaitanya was staying in when he was saying this. And then he immediately became very choked up, Gaur Govind Maharaj. Intensely choked up. He couldn't speak any further. Then he lied down and he said the last two words. Kirtan karo, kirtan karo. One devotee said doing kirtan. And one devotee got his worshipful deity, Gopalji, a photo of his in front of him. He was chanting the names of Gopal. And suddenly the devotees ran to call a doctor. So one devotee ran to call a very, very senior doctor who was an MD Ayurvedic Acharya. He went to call him. Meanwhile, other doctors had come. And the doctor checked him and they said there was no pulse. There was no heartbeat. There was no heartbeat. And they said, Gauru Maharaj has anyway left his body. But this main doctor, as I was reading, the main doctor came and he checked deeply. I said, no, he has pulse. He's still around. But he checked. There was nothing wrong in his body. There was no ailment in his body. There was no reason why somebody should be in this situation. The doctor said the only reason is because he is experiencing ecstasy. And then in that situation, when he spoke this, they said when he came, he was still alive at that time. By seeing the Gopalji deity form of in the photograph and chanting, hearing kirtan, our worshipable Gaur Govind Maharaj, left his body. And this is a classical example of what is in store. He's of course a very advanced devotee, but completely sold out to Srila Prabhupada. Completely devoted to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. This is a clear-cut indication of what is in store for us. If we live our life in adherence to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. We don't want to really have any ecstasies or anything. We are too far away from all this. This was a great devotee, Gaur Govind Maharaj. But for sure, if we are very much coherent in our following the principles as Srila Prabhupada has given us, perfection of life is in store for us. Because that's the whole purpose of bhakti. So it explained, there was a beautiful question asked by one devotee to Gaur Govind Maharaj. That what if my spiritual master is not there? What do I do? He is no more in this world. I want to read this reply to his, which will be very, very revealing. In his own style, he says, Are Baba, Guru makes all arrangements. Do not worry about it. His arrangements are perfect arrangements. He has taken that responsibility. He has accepted you as a disciple. He has not rejected you. Guru means heavy, not laghu, light. The opposite of guru is laghu. Guru's responsibility is very heavy. He has accepted the heavy responsibility to take you out of the fort of Maya. You are imprisoned in the fort of Durga Devi or Maya. Guru has accepted that responsibility to take you out. He knows his responsibility. It is up to him. Do not worry about it. You just serve Guru. You just completely surrender. You should have firm unflinching faith in Guru and completely surrender. Listen to what he says and follow it as it is. Do not twist it. Do not add any of your deliberations to it. Do not concoct anything. Then everything is assured. The last part is very, very important. You just serve Guru. You should completely surrender, number one. Listen to what he says and follow as it is, number two. Do not twist, number three. Do not add your own deliberations, number four. Do not concoct anything, number five. If you do these five things, then everything is assured. But the problem is, we love to do these five things. Because we love to do these five things, we have no love for Krishna. So for this, he didn't say this. I'm saying this. Yeah. So we follow these five principles of not concocting, not deliberating, being honest, not twisting. Then very soon, we'll achieve the mercy of the Lord through the mercy of our spiritual master. So let us understand that the mercy of Guru is so profound, so divine, that it is not restricted to material platform. Many times we feel that only when the Guru looks at me or smiles at me or pats me or does something physical with me, then I have the mercy of Guru. But by doing this, my dear friends, we are honestly restricting the mercy of Guru to something so very ordinary. You think the Guru's mercy is so restricted that it is only available in the physical platform when he sees you, looks at you. It is very, very sad if you think like that. The mercy of Guru is so profound. As in one of the other conversations, which I don't have time to read, Gurgur Maharaj says that Guru can come in so many different ways. He can come in the form of your own God brother and God sisters. It can come in the form of dreams. It can come in form of the various things that you read. It can come in different forms. Guru can come to instruct you. So let's not restrict the mercy of Guru to something so mundane and so ordinary as only in the material platform. It is very divine. Then when Srila Prabhupada was getting dreams after dreams, right? He got dreams of Bhakti Siddhanta. Take sannyas, take sannyas. Prabhupada said, then he went to meet his senior God brothers. Prabhupada said in a very great humility that I was scared with these dreams. And he went to his God brother, Bhakti Raksha Siddhadev Maharaj, and other senior God brothers of his, and said, what do I do? I'm getting these dreams. And then Guru was there, Sadhu and Shastra. He checked with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And he checked, he said, yeah, if Guru is coming again and again to your dreams, Guru is not restricted. Bhakti Siddhanta was no more. He had gone beyond the material world. He was in the spiritual world. But he was coming in dreams. At the same time, let's not artificially start dreaming about Guru. There's another problem we have, right? Oh, Guru came in my dream and he told me to chant 12 rounds only now. I mean, but Prabhupada also got this dream. He checked with his senior God brother. He didn't say, oh, I got a dream, so I'll take sannyas. He checked. What do I understand? And the God brothers confirmed and said, I think you should take sannyas. It is right time. In 1959, Prabhupada took sannyas. Keshadri Gaudiya Math. Yeah? So let us understand what we discussed about Guru Tattva. That Guru's mercy is so profound. So all-encompassing. And that's why the most important thing, I'm just quoting Niranjan Maharaj. Somebody asked him, I said, how many times have you met Prabhupada? And he showed like this. Zero times. Said, I've not met Prabhupada at all. As I was just, he was saying that I was with him in Vrindavan and I was cleaning his room and Prabhupada was about to come and I was eagerly waiting that when Prabhupada will come, I'll see him. But as I was cleaning the room, the senior devotees came. I said, out, Prabhupada is coming, out. I said, I was cleaning, I was about to see Prabhupada and I was told to go out. So he said, I never met Prabhupada personally. Prabhupada came and I was out. And I was driving my temple president to the temple in one or temple, I think New York or somewhere. And I was thinking that I'm driving him and now I'm able to see Prabhupada. And there was something very valuable in the car. The temple president said, you sit in the car because it's valuable and go and meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting there. I said, I couldn't meet Prabhupada. But you can see the amazing dedication all this spiritual must, all this Prabhupada disciples have. So it is not restricted to just material platform. It is much, much beyond. So I would like to end just by one beautiful statement that I heard from His Grace Govind Prabhu. He said that let us not make spiritual master as a drug. You know, we have drugs, right? We get drugs when you take once and you want to get again and again. Sometimes our attachment to Guru is like a drug. We want more and more and more and more. But Guru's association is not a drug. It is a medicine. You take at the right time in right proportion. Many times we are thinking, oh Guru, you know, it's my marriage anniversary. I want to meet my Guru. Is this that? Now, Guru is, I mean, it's not that you just, it's like a drug. Very nicely explained. Drug means you want it again and again. Because you can't live without it. But I said, how many times have you seen, when was it that Dhruva Maharaj, he first met Narad Muni at one time? And then when next Narad Muni met him after years. There's no episode where the guru keeps on meeting the disciple. If you have a chance to meet your guru, grab it. But don't just feel that guru's mercy is just restricted to his material platform in meeting him and seeing him. A sincere devotee. Prabhupada, how many times he met Prabhupada? Not many times. But a sincere devotee is carrying the guru in his heart. And when the famous question was asked, that do you remember your guru, Prabhupada, or something like that was asked. He said, there has never been a time I was separated from my guru. Prabhupada said it. There was never a time I was separated from my guru. What does it mean? It means that guru's mercy, guru's grace, guru's divinity is much, much beyond the material platform. And it is available on a very, very different plane, which is the spiritual platform, the divine subtle platform. And if you have access, if you are fine-tuned, you are resonating with that frequency of the guru, then you will constantly experience the guru's grace in your heart, irrespective of wherever in the world you are, whatever situation you are in. So that's what is this verse is beautifully explaining. And as a wonderful offering to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a wonderful offering to Gaur Govinda Maharaj, as a wonderful offering to Srila Prabhupada and to our respective spiritual masters, let us lead at least today's day remembering the wonderful mercy of our spiritual master. And as the verse is explaining, let us not see him as anything but a representative of spiritual master, a representative of all the demigods, and let us respect and let us feel ourselves profusely fortunate, bhagyavan jeev. And as a natural act of feeling the fortunate, the one feeling that comes in our heart is of gratefulness and gratitude. And the natural outcome of gratitude and gratefulness is strict adherence to the words of the spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Koryo Akya, Arana Koryo Mane Asha. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments or any additions? Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. There are a few announcements that we need to make. Nagappa Gokarna, the father of Hema Gokarna, Priya Sakhi Mataji and Vidyapati Prabhu, passed away this morning. So devotees are requested to kindly pray for the departed soul. Also the further